course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
And welcome to Listen to the Screams, the horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. And today we have a new friend with us, Matt Sempier, the actor, writer, and director of Creeping Death, available now on Screambox. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. So I have to say, right off the get, Matt, I asked you about your name, how to pronounce it. Did I mess it up? Because you kind of smile.
It was close.
Did you notice I tried to just breeze right through it, though? I just tried to keep...
That's the best way. That's what I do with everything. That's just how I get through life, breezing through
I'm like, if I mess it up, it's too late. Just keep going.
Yeah. So fast, by the time someone catches it, you're already saying something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's important is it's Matt. Matt is here. There we go. And Creeping Death, that's what's important. Creeping Death, I can say that. So Matt, talk to us. How did the ideal for Creeping Death develop?
Man, so this has been, it's been a 7-year journey to get it to this point. I knew I wanted to make a movie that was about Halloween. I love the holiday. We get all these Christmas movies every year. We don't get a lot of Halloween movies every year. And so I was like, okay, I know I need to make something Halloween, but how can it be something that's different besides, you know, what we've seen with Halloween? And, you know, I love Trick or Treat, that stands alone from the rest of them, but then there's other movies I love, like Satan's Little Helper, but again, guy in a mask going around, stuff like that. I'm like, how can we do something that taps into the lore? At this point, Krampus had just come out, and I loved what they did with that. I never knew what Krampus was until the movie came out, and now everyone knows who Krampus is. And so I was like, is there something kind of equivalent to that kind of in Halloween? And so I started like researching the lore of the holiday, and that's where I came across the lore of the Ishi and how, you know, there are these spirits. They're classified as a lot of different things. When I was researching it, there wasn't a lot of information out there for me to really like learn from. So I kind of like got the basic gist of it, which was, you know, these creatures are coming into our world every Halloween. They can only walk amongst the living on Halloween, and they're going door to door in exchange for food and clothing. You know, at least this is what the lore was. And if people left stuff out, the Ishi would then bless their homes, bless their lands, so that they could have a bountiful harvest the following year. And then, you know, there was some other like things saying that they dressed in costumes to like blend in with the villagers. Some were scary and like tall, some were short, some were described as fairies, elves, all sorts of things. And so really it just kind of felt like an open book for us to kind of do whatever we wanted, because there wasn't much there. And so I was like, what would that look like now? What would that look like? Because I never heard of the Ishi before, and I love Halloween. I never knew of this lore. And so I'm like, okay, what if these, you know, spirits or something had to find a different way to survive because everybody forgot what they were, so they stopped leaving things out. How would they survive then? I'm like, okay, it's got to be a horror movie. They take the people instead. You know, they're taking people from their homes. And so I just kind of started using that as my foundation, trying to create a little bit more of a, you know, creating our own origin to what this is. And then once we kind of had that flushed out, I'm like, okay, how can we make this a horror movie that's just not your typical, you know, run and gun slasher? Like, how can we put a little bit more substance in there? And that's kind of how it all came together.
Absolutely. And well, if I have my notes correctly, this developed out of a short film by the same name that you did. And was the intent and hope to always expand upon that short and make it into a full feature length film?
Well, you know, so I was kind of dumb when I first started this. Not much has changed now, but when I started trying to do it, I just, at this point, my only experience was shooting music videos, and I was shooting them on my iPhone. And the first music video I did pretty well, and it came out pretty good for figuring it out. And so I was like, oh, I did a music video, I can do a feature now. So I started trying to shoot this on an iPhone 7 years ago, and it turned out awful. So I scrapped it. Like, we never got, I mean, you know, at this point, I'd never worked with actors before. I'd never had to work with a sound person. I've never had a big crew. It was always just like me and a camera, maybe a couple other people helping me. So with this, I quickly realized, oh, you need a lot more hands on deck when you're doing something like this. And you can't always just call up friends and be like, hey, what are you doing in an hour? Let's go shoot this kill scene. You know what I mean? And then hope to have like 10 people just drop everything to show up. So that didn't work out. And then I had just gotten accepted into film school around that time. I said, you know what? And we were shooting it originally in like March. I think we set up in March because we had, I'm originally from New York. And so we had it like a really weird month in March where it was just like there was no snow. It was warm out. It felt like fall weather. I'm like, screw it. We can shoot this movie in like 2 weeks. Let's make it happen. Obviously, it didn't work out. So I got into film school and I was like, you know what? I'm going to have access to really good equipment, people that love the craft and want to be there doing it. Let me try and do this there. So I got into film school and I started passing the script around, which was a lot different than what we actually have now. It's a completely different script entirely. None of the mom stuff was there. My character wasn't there. None of the, it was a completely different movie, but still based. It actually didn't even take place on Halloween, the original script. It took place 3 days before Halloween. And so anyways, I was trying to shoot this movie in college and I was sneaking gear out of the school every weekend. And I was getting some of my friends together and we were shooting every weekend from like August all the way up until November. And we had 2 days of shooting left. And that was where all of our exposition was supposed to come from, all the like heavy dialogue stuff. We shot all the hard stuff first, got that out of the way. But all the big stuff that we needed to connect everything, we had yet to shoot. And it was all outside. And so we had 2 more days to shoot. It was going in November. Snow came down.
No.
And so, anyways, long story short, that never got finished. And I walked away from the project for a couple of years. So this is my long answer to your question. I'm sorry. But
That's all right.
we ended up, so I walked away from the project for a little bit. And I was telling people when I moved to LA about this idea I had, this project that I had been working on for so long. And they were like, why don't you still try and do this? And I'm like, eh, you know, it's too much. I've tried, I'm done with it. You know, it's taken too much of my life away. And they're like, no, like you need to make this movie because if you don't, someone else is going to make something based on this. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. You're right. And I ended up writing a brand new feature, which is what we now shot. And I said, okay, how do we get the money for this? How we can make this happen? And before I even dive into a feature, I need to just prove to myself that I can complete some sort of story with this character. And so I flew back to New York. I got a bunch of my family and friends from back in New York. And that's when we shot the short film. And we just used that as our proof of concept, just one to myself to prove to myself I could even finish something. And then two to, you know, have something to pitch to people to show like this is what we're trying to go for. You know, if you like this, then please help us out make the thing, the big thing. So yeah, that's kind of the long answer to say yes, based on a short film, but the short film was based on two versions of a feature that never got finished.
Fair
Well,
enough.
well, yeah, before we dive into the next question, I have to say, Dream Warrior shirt, bravo.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's my favorite nightmare. Love it. And yeah, me too. All right. And but next question, let's talk about, you mentioned music videos, right? So let's, this is a good chance to sidebar just for a moment. You're also a musician, right?
Correct.
You're, and you have music in the movie, but you have plenty of stuff out there on the usual platforms. I mean, you have a, you, I think you have, don't you have a couple different music projects
Yeah.
that you work with?
So I have my own solo project just called Sam Peer, which I realized later on in life I maybe should have like changed that because I want to be in a loud bar and tell people the name of my band and they go, oh yeah, I hit like they get, you know, if I can go up to them and say Creeping Death, they get that. If I go up to them and say, hey, my band name is Sam Peer, they're like, what? And so I'm like, yeah, I need something that, you know, people can understand better. Anyways. But yeah, so I have my own original project called Sam Peer. And then I play out in LA is I'm just kind of a hired gun right now playing with any bands that are looking for somebody. I have a show tomorrow night. I had a show last night with a cover band, and then tomorrow we're actually playing so Monique, who plays my mom in the film, we're playing her wedding. So that's gonna be fun.
Ah, yeah.
Fun moment. But yeah, I have my own solo project. And then I play you know, with whoever wants to. My buddy Ian Brown, who's in the film, he plays Tramer. Him and I scored the movie together. So I've always been like a musician first. And then I knew I wanted to do horror movies, and I just felt like if I didn't take the chance to do it now, I would never get to. But then upon doing that, it took my time away from music. So when we got closer to post-production, I was like, all right, I need to get more involved with music again. And so that's when it came into writing the score. The final song in the closing credits of the film, that's a brand new song. We haven't put that out yet. So,
Okay.
which we shot a music video for that. I'm still working on that one. But yeah, I'm always trying to get involved in music.
Well, I was going to say I love the song at the credits. I as soon as that started playing, I was like, I really like that. So it kind of reminds me of sort of like that. I would I'm going to probably date myself a little bit, but like the early 2000s, like some of that like pop punk and your My Chemical Romances, stuff like that. And I really liked it. And I was trying to find it, and I was like, oh, I can't find it anywhere, which
Well,
makes sense now.
yeah, no, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make a movie that felt like something I would watch when I, like the first horror movie I really ever saw, slasher movie, I should say, is like Freddy versus Jason. And I got that movie from a flea market because my parents wouldn't let me watch that stuff. My grandfather took me to a flea market one day, and some guy sold me the DVD for like $5. He didn't care. I couldn't go to Target and buy it because it was rated R, and I was like six or whatever. And this person, they're like, yeah, whatever, here you go, kid. And like, I loved it. And the soundtrack, I was listening to the soundtrack over and over. And so movies just at that time, like, yeah, they had score, but then they had a fucking soundtrack with such great music in there. Dude, like the Scorpion King had Godsmack's I Stand Alone in there. I loved that. And Spider-Man had Hero. They had all these great songs. And so I just wanted to have a song that could kind of feel like that early 2000s kind of bit. And that's, it's a different way of closing out a horror film. We kind of have the score start off the end credits and then go into that. And it just felt like a nice little way of doing it.
Yeah,
I feel
absolutely.
like Ike saying that, that dates him as jab at me being the old guy here.
Well,
No. Because
I mean,
it's the same concept here. I'm like, you're like saying this with the movie. I'm like, oh yeah, yo, Dream Warriors had Dokken in it. It's
Dawkins too. I mean, yeah,
like,
I you know out behind the mask. Friday
yeah.
six. Like, yeah, no, I love all it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I'm broaching that period because, man, I'm not sure how old you are. I'm broaching that period now where like I'm almost 30, and so when I talk to people who are like 10
Downhill
years,
after
15 years,
that.
what'd you say?
It's all downhill once you hit it. I
It really is.
just turned 30.
Well,
So.
I and like I'll talk
Come
to people.
on.
Well, Dave, like, look, I know that you're older than me, but
No
I'm
kidding.
approaching that world now where like I talk to my cousins who are like 14, 15 years younger than me, and they don't understand what I'm talking about, and it sucks, man.
Here's Ike, like, oh, I'm getting ready to turn 30. I'm like, okay, next year I turn 50. I'm like, come on.
Hey, it's like you said, it's all downhill from here.
Once I
I
turned
can't.
22, it was just like, all right,
Right.
I'm gonna see my way up.
I can.
I'm holding strong with that 50 is the new 30.
That's right.
I hope so. I need something to look forward to. 31 doesn't seem like a something exciting.
It gets better. It gets better, sort
Well,
of.
I mean, to be fair, like I feel like this generation's aging a little bit better than like the people did in the 80s. Like there are people in movies who were like 25, 30 who looked like they were in their 50s.
Yeah.
It may have been all the smoking, but
Well, I see comments
The
I see comments online saying like, why do these teenagers look like they're in their 40s? I'm like, first off, we're not playing teenagers in this movie. Like the idea
Right.
we never specify what age we are, but to me, right, it's like we're college age, we're like in our early 20s, we're the people that kind of never left home and are still trying to figure ourselves out. I mean, I didn't leave home till I was 25, I didn't
Yeah.
finish college till way later, and I'm like, that was kind of what we were trying to go for. And everyone's like, these guys are in high school, but they look like this. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, have you guys watched like the Scream movies or anything like this? Like all, there was such a generation of films where it's like, yeah, there were much older actors portraying much younger people, but also then you're getting their experience, which is great too. But no one ever said we were teenagers.
That's right. I was gonna say, like you said in Scream, Matthew Lillard's like, I don't know, 30 or something like that, and playing like a 16-year-old or something. I kid. But anyhow, we got way off the rails there for a minute. It happens.
It's 'cause you called me old. Oh wait,
I didn't listen. I didn't directly call you old. It was a
right.
passive comment. I kid. Stick
Just stick to the notes, man. Come on.
to the script, man. But anywho. Going back to your movie Creeping Death,
Yeah.
the movie very it very much has like we classic throw butt back feel to it. It's definitely a little bit different than some of the stuff that we see now, especially in terms of style. Was that throwback appeal more of like an intentional choice, or was it something that just happened along with the filming?
No, I think it was just always the feel. I mean, I grew up loving, the classics of the 70s and 80s. I don't want to say the old films,
Thank you.
but I grew up like watching a lot of the 70s, 80s horror movies. It took me a little bit longer to start appreciating the horror films of the 90s and stuff like that. And then as I got older, I started to appreciate like those films more too. And so going into this, I just wanted to have something that felt like a little bit of each of those decades all kind of put into one in a way, and then make it feel a little bit more modern as well. It's like, especially going into my first movie, I was like, okay, I want to tackle something that feels somewhat, I don't want to get too crazy off the rails yet. Let me see if I can do like something like this, but still make it feel different than everything else. And I hope we achieve that. But yeah, I definitely wanted it to feel like your classic, monster movie that people will want to put on Halloween, or even in the middle of summer on a, on a rainy summer night or something like that, And I think it kind of worked. Just, a movie that people can sit down, relax, turn their brain off. It does there it, The movie does require some thought, but at the end of the day, it's like I just want people to sit down, turn their brain off, and just have fun, relax, and just watch something and hope they find something they can enjoy.
And you mentioned some of the movies you watch, right? Of course, anybody that's a horror fan, right? The classics obviously are, hit home, right? All the big movies, right? But you also you mentioned your first was Freddy versus Jason, which is kind of a unique first movie for a lot of people. And you mentioned some of the 90s stuff that you caught up on later, which I have always had the talk that, some of that 90s stuff is very underappreciated, that and doesn't get discussed. There's some really good stuff there. What do you have anything though that kind of jumps out as maybe, I don't know, maybe unorthodox or unique, and what influenced you greatly? Because everybody says, oh yeah, Halloween 1978, that was my, and of course, all right, come on, don't, but what's that sleeper movie that when you saw it, you're like, oh yeah, I want to make this movie.
I've said it before, and I don't know how, like, to me it felt like it was a sleeper movie back when I first saw it. Now I think it's finally like getting an appreciation, but Pumpkinhead was one of my favorite movies ever. Like when I saw that, it in a way changed my life. Also the experience of what I had to go through to just watch this freaking thing. But going back to when I was like a kid, I would go to like these collector shows with my grandfather, and he was a big baseball card collector, all sorts of sports memorabilia. And so I would go with him collecting that stuff. I didn't really like the sports stuff. I just liked hanging out with my grandfather. And so finally, and I was kind of afraid to explore my own interests because I felt like my family would not like if I was in horror movies. And one day I was at this collector's fest and I saw this set of Fangoria trading cards. I'd never heard of Fangoria before. At all, had no idea. I think it was like 10, so like 10 or 11. And I asked him if I could get these cards, and he's like, oh, well, don't you want the new Yankees, whatever? And I'm like, no, I don't. I want this. And so I had, it was like all the covers of all of their old magazines, and I was just scrolling through all of them, and I'm like, I want to watch all of these movies. And then I saw Pumpkinhead. There was a trading card for Pumpkinhead. I'm like, I need to see this. And it just so happened that like later that year, it popped up on TV, and I asked him to tape it for me because I didn't have cable at home. So he was going to tape it for me. And he only taped it. It was back in the day when they had the scrolling like TV guide. So you couldn't go and look. It's just going up. And then you have to wait another 5 minutes to see what's going to be on channel 67 or whatever. And also, it only shows you like an hour block.
Oh
So
yeah.
he saw the hour block and it went, Pumpkinhead went from 8 to 9. He didn't realize it really went from 8 to like 10. And so he taped the first hour of the movie, gives me the tape. I sit down for the first time and I'm loving every second of this. I'd never seen a movie like this before. Especially like something that was so, there's a lot of emotion in that film. It's such, there's a lot of grief in that. And it was the first time I really felt like I felt sad watching a movie. Besides my dog Skip, that movie made me sad. but I'm watching it, and like right before like Ed Harley turns like starts like revealing that he's turning into Pumpkinhead, the tape just cuts out. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Where did this come from? Because I didn't know that was going to happen. It was so new to me. And I kept like rewinding it and playing it again and rewinding and playing again. I'm like, all right, there's just clearly a glitch in the tape. No, he taped the first hour. And for like years, I would re-watch that tape, just hoping that maybe somehow it would just pop up. And it never did. And my parents wouldn't let me get rent the whole movie because it was rated R. I can only watch the TV cut. And it just stuck with me for years. I became so obsessed. I'm like, how does this movie end? And I didn't have like access to the internet to just go look this stuff up then. And I also couldn't find that issue of Fangoria to read about it. Now I have it. Now I got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one just always stuck with me. And then finally, when I did get to watch it, it was like the first time a movie actually surprised me with an ending, because I was making up my own ideas in my head, as we tend to do when we're hearing things about movies. But it was the first time a movie had like, I guess, a better ending than what I could imagine, because I had no idea what the hell was going to happen.
Yeah.
And just the ending, how he basically has to sacrifice himself and all that. I thought there'd be a happy ending where he kills it and he gets his son back and all the stuff. And it's like, no, it just ends on such a fucking downer. And you turn it off and you're like, I just watch. And so that was it for me. That movie was one that just it was different than everything else.
Particularly the first half.
Yeah, first half. Yeah, the
I
first half.
have that. Okay, another sidebar here. What? Your arm. Is that the Mark of
Oh,
Thorn?
that is the Mark of Thorn.
Dude.
I love
Ike, he's hitting all of our check boxes here, man. I mean,
that.
Dream Warriors, Mark of Thorn. He's
Listen,
talking
I've got
Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead's on my arm. So if you pause the
Amazing.
right spot to see that, and then th this was a drunken mistake that never happened.
See, I've always told Dave, I'm a huge like fan of like the Mark of Thorn stuff and Halloween. I know some people don't like it, but like I really like Curse of Michael Myers for all of its cheesy goodness. I mean, it's Paul Rudd, like it's so good. I love it.
It's like, even going back, like when I first saw those ones, like obviously it's not Halloween 1 or 2.
Right.
I love the whole franchise in its own specific way. I love Halloween 6 as much as Halloween 1? Hell no. Do I want to watch as much as that? No. But I still enjoy watching it. It's still a fun movie to watch around the holiday. Well,
Absolutely.
we have to see if we can play. What's your thoughts on Halloween H2O?
I love that one.
Dude,
Honestly,
I think we have to invite him to be a co-host with us, because
right now, let's do
he's perfectly
it.
man. We talk about it all the time. The H2O, so underappreciated. Nobody talks about that movie enough. I love that movie.
H2O was so good. It felt like the right way to go for a sequel. Like it
Yeah.
felt like such a it was different enough without trying to think of what the hell I'm trying to say now. It was a very different Halloween movie, but still felt in the same vein as the original two.
Yeah.
I love that they had, what was it, Marion Chambers. They brought back the nurse. I just love all the like throwbacks to the original ones, having Dr. Loomis's recording at the beginning and all that stuff. Like I
Yeah.
love that. It
Yeah.
just sets it up perfectly. The first Halloween I actually saw was Resurrection, which was weird.
That's Ike,
I love Resurrection.
sir.
I love Busta Rhymes. Yeah, looking a little crispy, Mikey. That's my favorite line in any horror movie ever.
When I saw it, I'm like, it kind of sucked because it's like I saw her Laurie Strode die in the first 2 minutes. I'm like, wait, what? And the whole movie is just going to continue now? What? So it was interesting, but there's still an appreciation there for that one. I'm sure you guys probably caught some of the little Easter eggs to that movie in Creeping Death. Somebody came up to me at the end of we did a we premiered the movie in London last year, and somebody came up to me and said, I think you wrote one of the best lines in horror movie history. And I'm like, what's that? And they're like, trick or treat, motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. That was me. Yep. Thank you. So
was gonna say, Creeping Death had some pretty like classic cheesy horror movie like little quips and lines, which Like the at the end where they're running through the corn, and well, spoiler alert for people who have not seen this, and she's like, "What time is it?" Like, and I'm like, why are you asking the time of this? I know why she was asking, but it just seemed like so out of place, but funnily so.
Yeah, and that's the idea. It's like I these situ some a lot of these situations, 99% of these situations would not happen, but it's like, but that's why we watch these movies. Like,
Exactly.
watch characters do dumb things and have fun. You know, I love the I think the first time I really like watched an audience react to a horror movie was like when I saw Rob Zombie's Halloween. That was the first time seeing a horror movie in a theater, and it was sold out. And just seeing people like jump up, and go, "Why are you going over there? Don't open the door, anybody!" Like, that's what I love about horror movies is watching an audience react to them. And when you're watching them alone, sometimes you don't always get that same kind of thing, and it's such a different experience. And so this one is definitely one I think we're more. I think if people saw more in a theatrical setting or in a group setting, I think more people would get a kick out of some things as opposed to when you're sitting there alone watching it and just going, huh, oh, like I
Well,
can't laugh about this moment with somebody. You know what I mean?
yeah. And yeah, before I go to the next question, though, did I just see on social media that you are getting a few theatrical showings coming up?
So we are getting into some festivals. So
Okay.
I would love to be like in theaters, but yeah, we're playing. We just got announced, or we announced it yesterday. We got into the Atlanta Horror Film Festival, so we're playing in a doing a theatrical screening there. I haven't announced this yet. We are doing an LA screening coming up October 19th, and then October 26th, we're going to be doing another screening in New York where we shot the movie. So there's a few times where we'll be able to get people into a theater together to see it, but I would love for this to get picked up and get put in theaters. You know, even just a one night thing across country in a couple theaters. So I'm hoping as we get closer into Halloween, there'll be some more conversations about that. But that's the goal. Maybe next year, you know, we'll for Halloween again. You know, we see Terrifier coming out in theaters all the time now. So I'm hoping maybe we could maybe get that treatment. Maybe if we do a sequel, we'll see.
I'd love a sequel, but so you kind of mentioned it already. You mentioned the where, but when and how long was the shoot for the film?
Oh man, that I don't know the exact dates or the exact amount of days because so basically we went back, we had 14 days with our main cast, with all of the, you know, the teenagers, if you will. So we had them for about 14 days, but we weren't shooting full days. We were shooting like about 10 hours a day, or we were working 10 hours a day. And that's including loading in and setting up. On a big production, you get a lot more time. And so, because we were such a low budget movie, we were moving around to new locations every single day. It was so hectic, especially on me. And so, we had 14 days, which is a lot for a movie this small, but we didn't have those full days. You know, it was shooting a couple scenes here, moving there, whatever. So, we had 14 days with everybody. And then we shot, I think we had five more days. I think we had initially 20 days in New York for principal photography, 14 with everybody, and then another six just shooting a scene here and there and stuff like that. And then we shot everything with Monique. All the mom stuff we shot later. We spent 2 days out here in LA shooting that stuff, shooting the news report stuff. And then so that was like another 22, but then there's like little inserts and stuff I had to go get. A lot of the gore, I had to shoot a lot more like gore inserts. So that was another day of me just like calling up our DP and our effects guy and saying, "Hey, like, can we do this today?" So those weren't planned days or anything. I was just like, "Okay, is this something we can do tonight?" And then after we premiered the movie last year, we didn't have an opening scene. The opening scene started right in the pumpkin patch. It opened up on black. We had like, we had a quote that came up, which I hated doing this, but it just, we didn't have an opening because the scene that we shot that was supposed to open, I cut because it just didn't come out right. So it opened up on black with a quote and then just went right to the pumpkin getting stomped. And then for the first 45 minutes of this movie, you don't know what you're watching. And that I think kind of hurt us. And so we then went back and I was like, all right, I need an opening scene that lets you know right off the bat, this is a slasher movie, it's a Halloween movie, and it's gonna get graphic, you know, just bear with us. And so we spent one more day shooting a brand new opening scene. So all in all, I mean, I'd say it's maybe around, I'll say 25 safely. It's probably like 25 days of shooting. But again, it wasn't like your full days like you would think on a typical film shoot. And also we had a very, very small crew too. So, we just did the best we could with what we had and the time. So
Right.
I wish we had another 15 days.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word, the phrase low budget, right? You're a low budget movie. And we've watched lots of low budget, right? We love lots of them. But your movie didn't really have that low budget look. Because is that do you attribute it to what you discussed earlier about your access to some of the equipment there at film school that helped with the look?
No, I think it's, at the time that we shot this, I was way out, not way out, but a couple of years past film school. Our DP, he just finished film school. So we all had equipment. We all had experience. We knew we were doing. We didn't have all the gear that we needed to make it look even bigger budget. A lot of the times we would love to put a crane in the sky and put a light up there, stuff like that. No, we knew enough of what we were doing to make it not feel, to make it look like this could be a much bigger budget movie. So, but there's still parts of it where it's like, okay, we have to hide things because we don't have the budget, or the location isn't exactly the way we want because we can't afford to, exactly everything that we need. So you gotta cheat things. But no, the look would just came down to, we had a really good DP. We had a really good G&E team, and camera team. And so, and by team, I mean, it was pretty much my producing partner, Pat Toohey, who helped me, and then John. It was like, they were like the only two running around with the camera and doing lights. And then my buddy Tyler, who also helped produce, he was helping them out too. So, but we had a very small team to really pull that off. And those guys were so good. And I put them through the ringer on this, that's for sure. But, normally you would have, like, especially on a movie like this, you probably have like five people just in lighting, five people in the camera department, and just, 10 for that, just for that. And we had like 10 people all together. So that made it really difficult, but, we just did the best we could with what we had.
Yeah, absolutely. And, kind of speaking of the best you could of what you had, we talked a lot about sort of like the creation of the film, the filming, everything else, but you had practical effects, you had animals, and so much more in this film. But with a limited budget, I would guess that it could have been a little challenging to work within it. But like you said, you worked with what you had and you produced a fantastic product. But did you have to sacrifice anything to get what you wanted in the film, or did you kind of everything fall into place how you wanted it?
Yeah, I mean, every day there were sacrifices that had to be made that
Right.
really kind of, it really discouraged me when we started shooting because, the script, not that the story is that much different, but the way I wanted to shoot things, some of the actions, the gore, it was much more graphic. We had
Right.
a lot of insane kills. The ending was a little bit different. It was a little bit bigger. We also shot this during the Delta variant of COVID. So that was another challenge too on how things were going to go. But one of the biggest things that I had to sacrifice, and it killed me. And it's like, you know what, whatever. If I get the chance to Evil Dead 2 this thing, I'll do it the way I want it. But when we run in the corn maze at the end, the idea was instead of coming into like a pile of corn and like a couple people, it was just going to be a giant mound of dead bodies. All completely mutilated, blood, guts, everything. It was gonna be all the townspeople. It was gonna be the people we saw at the farm earlier. We would have Hawthorne's head in there. We were gonna have the news reporters in there. I wanted to just show like this whole town had just been like taken and is about to be harvested to go back into the other world. And so then we hide under the bodies and like blood is like dripping down our faces as the monster's walking by. And it was just gonna be much more graphic and a little bit bigger of an ending. I wanted that. Also, I was going to show the Ishii taking bodies back into their world. I wanted to have a sequence like that. But again, the biggest part was the bodies. And with COVID going on, I'm like, okay, I cannot have 50 people come out in the middle of the fucking cornfield in the middle of the night and lay on top of each other and then cover them all in fake blood. And then we have to act with that. Like, I'm the one calling him there, and then I have to be like, all right, make a space because I'm getting in here, and then do such an emotional scene. like, there's no way I can do this. Realistically, to, you know, with everything, and just, you know, if anybody got sick from that, I would not, you know, be able to forgive myself on that. So I wanted to make sure everybody was safe with that. So that was, you know, one thing that, you know, we had to sacrifice a lot of the kills. We had to change the way we were going to shoot it, you know, coming down to budget. And then one thing that I thought came out better than I planned, or the scene was a little bit bigger, but the whole car scene, when we run out, we get in there, that was such a much bigger moment where we were going to get in the car, and in the script, we get in the car and the guy's skinned body is just flapped over the car. And so his smushed face is like on the windshield looking in at us, and it was supposed to be flat. And we were going to use like the windshield wipers to make the face go back and forth, and it wouldn't move. And then finally it moves and the monster's right there. And then we were going to try and like run over the monster, but because it's supernatural, we went like through it. And then we crashed in the house. It was like such a much bigger scene. And obviously we didn't have money to crash a car, so but we got to that scene and I'm just like, okay, how are we gonna do this? Like, we have to shoot this whole big scene in 4 hours, and that starts with us running out of the house, getting into the car, getting attacked by the monster, and then running out of the car, then the guy gets attacked by the monster again with the bone, like, then we go back in the house, that whole sequence. How the hell do we show all this, make it feel intense in 4 hours? And so I had like 30 shots that I wanted to get to make that work. And, you know, coming down to time, my AD was like, you have time for like 6 shots. So figure out what you want to do. And I looked at my DP and I'm like, you know, and at this point my head is just spinning. I can't even think, because I've only seen it this one way for so long. I don't know how to see it any other way. Not that I didn't want to, I just couldn't. And so our DP just looks at me. He's like, I've got it. We're going to do it in one. I'm like, what? He's like, just trust me. I'm like, I don't, but I don't have a choice. So sure. And we did that whole sequence where it kind of plays like it's a oneer. And that's one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, because for me, it puts the audience right there with everybody else. You know, we're kind of seeing it from different perspectives, but it keeps you right there. And so that was another one that we had to sacrifice. We didn't know if it was going to work, but it's probably my favorite sequence of the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the frustrations, right, with your budgets and time and everything else. So many people on the outside that don't do this think, oh, it's so fun. It has to be so fun to make a movie. You run around with your friends with a camera. And how when you get into it and you're doing it, though, the headaches and the stresses that come with it, what was the most frustrating part of it for you? Was it the budget? Was it the time? Was it a combination of the two? Was it that difficulty you were having with your vision and trying to, you know, having to compromise certain things? What part just made you want to just, you know, scream?
Everything. a lot of it was just, you know, trying to think of how to word this. Everything made me want to scream. There's some things I can't get into. you know, there's the, sometimes a shot wouldn't work out. You know, we would try something. It doesn't look good. It doesn't work. Or we realize, hey, because of whatever problem we're having over here, we can't shoot the scene today. One of the things that really like screwed us, which we figured it out, but it was just such a like inconveniences. So like the cornfield and the movie, we shot all the night stuff first, and we had one more day of shooting, and that was supposed to be all the intro stuff where I'm at the pumpkin patch. So that's the same pumpkin patch from the beginning and end of the movie. Beginning of the movie, if you look in the background, there's no cornfield. They cut it. And so luckily, I'm like, you know, we don't really establish, because there was going to be much more of like a pumpkin patch dynamic. I wanted to see, have shots of kids going into the corn maze and stuff like that and make it feel like it was a much bigger space. But that got cut down on our last day. And the final shot of the movie is the monsters looking back out at us, right? Through the corn. So that was the final one we needed to get. Corn maze is cut, and I'm like, I need this shot. We already shot the ambulance stuff where I'm looking out at something. Now I need the reverse. What are we gonna do? And it's like, luckily, because we were shooting out in the countryside, you throw a football, you're gonna find another cornfield. Except we don't know whose cornfield that is, we don't know where to find these people because you're out in farm country. And so one night we showed up, and you know, the day we did this, I'm like, all right, we need to go get the shot. So my DP, my producer Tyler, and I, the three of us, just hopped in a car. We drove down the road. We found the closest cornfield, and I put the costume on. And so a lot of the times in the movie, I'm actually playing the monster too, because we only had our monster actor for 5 days. So there's a lot of it where I'm just looking back at myself in the movie.
That's so meta.
Yeah, right. And so I get in the full costume, and I get in the corn mate, or I get in, you know, this cornfield, and I'm like sticking my head out. And I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, you can look 2 miles in any direction and see if a car is coming. Nothing's there. So we pull over, and you know, and they're supposed to be flashing top lights, right? And so we had these little lights, and we put them on top of my producer's car, just to, you know, just really the whole, because we didn't have any equipment. We just quickly were going to go steal the shot. So we put these flashing lights on top of the car. I stand in the corn maze. My DP's standing there, you know, about to shoot it. And all of a sudden, we see these headlights coming from up the road. And, like, oh, no. And it's like 2 in the morning, by the way, too. Like, who the hell is out right now, especially out here? And so we're like, okay, like, they're a mile that way. They're going to turn, right? No. Of course, they're coming straight down our street. And they pull up, and our DP is waving them on with his flashlight. And the guy just stops the car and rolls down the window, and it's dead silent. And I can't see anything because I got a fucking mask on with glowing light, so I'm completely blind. And so my DP's like, all right, you can go. Like, you know, we're not doing anything. Guy is just standing there, or just sitting there in the car. And I'm like, what the hell? So I step out of the corn in the costume, and I'm like, hey, we're just shooting a student film. No, nothing. Just nothing. And so I'm like, okay, this is really weird. And again, he probably thinks we're impersonating cops because we have the flashing red and blue lights on top of the car. And so I take the mask off, and you know, people knew that we were in town shooting this movie. So it wasn't like news to anybody that we are in town doing this. It was kind of public out there. Like, the news came out and was talking about us being there. So, and plus, a lot of the people out where we were shooting, they all know each other. So we kind of had permission to be in some of these spots. Anyways, long story short, I take the mask off, come up to the guy. I'm like, hey, we're, you know, shooting a student film. I go to school here, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, uh-huh. And I'm like, is this your corn maze? You know, we're with the people up the street. They just cut it down. They said we could come here and like do this. That okay? And he's like, this ain't mine. And I'm like, oh, okay, then what's the issue? And he's like, I know these people. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, look, we're gonna be out of here in like 3 minutes. And he just rolls up the window and speeds off. I get back in the corner, and I'm like, get the shot, get it, we're going. And I jump back in, put the mask on, I'm standing there, and then we're out. So that was frustrating, but we got it. I was like, of course, the one shot that we need, you know, and we get caught for. We were not trying to impersonate cops.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite line of all time is, it's free to mind your own fucking business. Like, just keep going.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, just drive on by, see we're doing something, just go. And he just stops. And nothing. You know, he's not asking us questions like, hey, what are you guys doing? I know there's people. Are you allowed to? There's just nothing. Just dead stare. And I'm just like, okay. But of course, I gotta be the one to walk out, not the other two people that are already out there. I have to be the one to walk out in the gloves, the jacket, mask, with the eyes, and just,
yeah. Good Lord. Good. Well, time. I'm sure that could be frustrating, but to kind of bounce off of Dave's question a little bit, when you kind of get into like the day-to-day work of filming a movie, it starts to obviously feel a little bit more like work. You know, you have like the editing, some of the mundane, monotonous stuff. Is it more difficult as a filmmaker to keep the passion going when you get into the monotonous stuff, or did you like the monotonous stuff? Was it like a breath of fresh air from all the chaos, or what was that like?
Getting into post?
Yeah.
At first, you know, when we first finished shooting, I was really discouraged. I was kind of at a really low point in my life for multiple reasons. When we finished shooting, so I almost lost the whole movie because we were so low budget. We only had one hard drive, had one master hard drive, and it cost like a grand. because of how big, the data was. I didn't have money to buy a second one. And I wish I could have. And we backed up some of the footage to other places as much as we could. But, memory, I mean, right here I have a memory card. Like, this is like five, not, well, maybe not 500. This is a couple hundred bucks right here. This is just a terabyte. And we needed like 14 terabytes worth of space. So those drives are expensive. And when we finished shooting the movie, I was in New York. Sorry, I'm losing my voice now. And everything right before I went to New York to shoot, the place I was living at, I was living with a buddy of mine that I grew up with, and he just bought a house. And he's like, hey, and he let me know like 2 weeks before I was going out to shoot that he bought the house. And he's like, just want to let you know, bought a house, and I'll be moving. And I'm like, when? And he's like, when you're gone shooting. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, well, if you want to move into the house, like, you're more than welcome to, but you kind of gotta pack your shit up so I can go. So I packed up all my stuff in LA to get moved in the house before I left. Then I got to New York, shot the movie, and we already finished it. And I was just feeling really down. And then and I had the master hard drive and all the paperwork and everything for the movie in one cardboard box on the floor in the basement, which is where my room was when I lived in New York. We shot this. My character's house in the movie is my dad's house. That's kind of where I grew up and stuff when I was like going to high school and college and stuff like that. And but my room was always in the basement. It was my little horror cave. We've never had any problems there. And so, to make a long story short, we had a flood, and we've never had any flooding problems there, ever, ever. And we had I gotten back to the house like 2 minutes later, the movie would have been gone. The water was like literally a quarter inch away from touching the hard drive. That was the first thing I grabbed. Part of me didn't want to even touch it. I just wanted to let it go and be like, whoops, because I was just so discouraged with everything because it was so hard. It, the movie didn't turn out the way I was. Now I'm happy with it. I'm so happy with how it came out. But at that point, because I've been so tired, I've been, kind of screwed over and just taken advantage of and lots of different things. I was so tired. I just didn't feel good about it or about myself. And so anyways, this flood happened. I almost lost the movie. But my whole room that was still set up for whenever I would go back to visit was destroyed. And so before I left New York, I packed up everything in boxes. And now I just was at this weird point in my life where I'm like, I don't know where home is. I don't know what my future looks like. I don't, my life is literally in boxes on each side of the country. And I don't know what I'm fucking doing. I have this movie on this hard drive. I just quit my job to make. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't even know if I want to look at the stuff because I didn't have time to look at the dailies. Normally every night the director's going to look at the dailies. I didn't have time to do that. I had to go figure out 100 other things that were going wrong. How do I solve this? I couldn't just go and be a director. And so I got back to LA and I didn't look at any of the footage for like 3 months. I couldn't. I was just so worn down. And then finally I was like, okay, and we didn't have the scenes with the mom either. So I'm like, I don't even have a complete movie. I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I give long answers, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But long story, it took me some time to really want to look at it. And then I started splicing together a couple scenes. I'm like, oh, this actually kind of works. This kind of cuts together. Okay, what if I tried this? Oh, this kind of works. Oh, this doesn't work. This kind of sucks. What am I gonna do? There was like a moment, so that when we're in the barn, the big fight in the barn, we didn't get a lot of inserts of that. We just had like couple wides. We didn't have time to get all the coverage I needed. I wish we had like 2 days to shoot that whole scene. And so when I cut together the first version of it, I hated it. It looked awful. And honestly, it made no sense because you didn't see the monster vanish or anything. You saw him kind of fall to the ground and then all of a sudden he's outside. And I'm like, I need these moments, but I'm like, how can I do this? I don't have the location. I don't have the actors anymore. I don't have any of the stuff I need. And I don't have the money to bring us back to New York. To get that location back and redo this. So I'm like, what do I do? And so that was like really challenging. And then once I kind of started feeling a little bit more inspired by the scene that some things were cutting together, I was like, okay, how can I fix these things that don't work? And then that inspired me to kind of go back and say, you know what, screw it. I'm going to get some more inserts. I'm going to find, try to put together a team, just get some more stuff. How can we piece things together? And so it was there were a lot of challenges getting through post. Post, I think, was even harder than shooting, because shooting was only a couple weeks, and so with post, it's been 2.5 years. Hard drives crashing. We're learning how to do things properly. My buddy Ian and I, we've never done a feature before. Him and I have been making music together for years, but now we're trying to score a movie, do the sound design, and do a mix all on our own, and we've never done that before. And so we learned how to do it the right way by doing it the wrong way 5 times. And then eventually we're like, okay, you know what? We know we can make it sound better. So finally we were able to get some money to hire a proper sound mixer. But it'll beat you down. And then sometimes you'll watch another movie and they'll give you an idea. And there were lots of times, especially with the ending. I was like, the scene where I'm about to get, where I'm like confessing my love to Danielle's character, I'm like, I don't know how to cut the scene together. I wanted a lot more coverage, didn't have time to get it. How do I make this still feel somewhat emotional and intense and suspenseful? How can I make this feel like a big moment and not just like, oh, they're kissing, oh, he's stabbed, and whatever. And I was watching that episode of Stranger Things when Running Up That Hill was playing. And like the way they just kept cutting to like, seeing her like escape or whatever, and then cutting to her face just with that music. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, and I literally stole that song, put it in the edit, and I started editing that. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna cry now watching this. So then that scene like worked. But then we had to get rid of that music, obviously, when we did our own score for it. But there were moments where I was just so frustrated, things weren't happening. And then there were other scenes where I'm like, whoa, I didn't even write that in the script, and that came out way better just because we're messing with things.
Well, the movie's out, right? It's on video on demand. It's streaming on Screenbox as of September 10th. Tell us, for those of us who on this side of it, what's the process like getting your movie getting on a platform like Screenbox? How does
You
that
know,
work?
I was really scared about that because I didn't know where this was going to end up. Luckily for me, I have a really good friend and producing partner, Jason Goldberg, who, I met years ago, and he was always kind of my mentor as I was going through this whole thing. And so he's like, look, he's like, if you make something and it's good, like I'll put my name on and help you get it out there. And so he already did a movie called Glorious that was on Shudder, and he wrote a movie called Stay Out of the Attic that's on Shudder. And he had a bunch of movies that were already out there with these companies. And that was always the goal, was to end up on Screenbox, Shudder, something like that. I didn't know anybody there. And so when we had the first like cut ready to go, I showed it to him. He's like, we need to show this to them. And I'm like, wait, really? He's like, yeah. And so for me, it was just because, who we knew. And immediately, like, Screenbox was like that on a rough cut. They were like, oh, this is good. We're interested in this. I said, okay. I'm like, well, before I like say yes, like, before even you guys say yes, I want to finish this, because it wasn't done. I knew I wanted to do so much more stuff to the film. And so I'm like, let me mess with this thing and then let's do it. So that I can't speak too much to it, because it all came down to just having the right team behind me to help push this.
Yeah. And Dave and I, we always sing the praises of platforms like Screenbox, Shudder, these places that really they excuse me, enable and empower independent horror creators to release their projects. Whereas in the past, that's really not been a huge possibility a lot of times. But how exciting it was it for you guys to get that onto Screenbox? Was that like a high note for you during that process?
Oh, absolutely. Looking at it, I've been, praising these guys forever now, but Terrifier. If not for those guys showing what they can do with an indie budget and finding a following, because that was the first time, at least for me, that I saw these people go make a movie on their own, but it found an audience and people that genuinely cared, Obviously, they had to go out there and like really push it, but I was like, okay, like even if we can just get a small little following, I'm like, maybe we can make something like that too with a small budget. And so that first one is what made me want to write and make this movie. And then we finished, we pretty much finished shooting everything right when Terrifier 2 came out. And then seeing what Terrifier 2 did for them was even so much more inspiring for us. And then we're like, oh my God, Screambox, this company that's doing it. And then when they became interested in us, we're like, holy shit. It blew our minds that they would want to do that. And then to find out that we were coming out a month before Terrifier 3, we're like, okay, this is weird. And so I don't know if you guys have seen. So right now, as of when I checked last, we're number two in on Screambox, right behind Terrifier 2. And I made a post and I tagged Damien in it, and he commented back and said he was going to check out the film. And that for me, that was such a high point for me, because it was like, he's a hero. I would not, if he did not make that movie, I wouldn't have made this. There's no way I would have even thought, oh, we could do something this small. Do trying to think how to word that better. There's no way we could have done something on an indie level and still hope for it to have some success. I didn't think we could do that.
Yeah.
Terrifier is what made that feel real.
Well, Dave and I, we're actually huge fans of Terrifier. That's one of our, I would say that's probably my all-time favorite horror film. It's just so different. Like you said, it's created so much for independent filmmakers and everything else. So, Dave and I, we're 100% on board with you there. It's just wild. And I think one day the people will look back at the history of horror films and they'll say, this was a turning point for people making these smaller projects, and I definitely agree with you there.
No, those guys are great. I had a it's now been announced, so I think I can talk about this. But so Ice Nine Kills has a music video in the new Terrifier, and I work a lot with the team that does their video. So I got invited out to the set, and I
Oh,
got to
cool.
meet David in costume. And this was like right when we got announced that we were going to be on Screambox. So I went up to him like, "Hey, David, like it's good to," or Art. I didn't know what to call him, because he's. It wasn't like meeting Robert Englund. It was like meeting Freddy Krueger, like seeing him in that costume. And I'm just like, hey, I just want to thank you. Like, one, it's so incredible to be standing in front of you. Please don't kill me. But two, thank you for what you do, because you inspired us. And now we're sharing a platform and kind of sharing the fall together. And it's a weird full circle moment. And just thank you for being awesome and doing what you do.
Yeah.
That's
Well,
amazing.
you talked about, how the movie's doing great on Screambox, right? I was going to say it's been consistently in the top five, often in the top three as it is now, and holding. You talked about having some struggles, right? Getting to points where you just didn't want to even look at your footage, didn't want to do any editing, just were very discouraged. Right now, as you sit in retrospect, you say you're happy with the film, but knowing, hey, others are appreciating it. Others are enjoying it. It's not a fluke. It's holding there, right? People are watching this movie. It's got to feel, you got to at least feel like, well, I went through all this shit, but at least now it feels worth, it feels vindicated a little bit.
Does it really does. It's this is the most any I've been a creator for half of my life at this point, putting out music, whatever. I used to tour in bands and all that, so I'm not new to criticism, but having so many people commenting now, and like, this is the most exposed I would say I've been with something, which is new for me. And so it's really exciting. And I'll get messages constantly about people saying how much they loved it, and that means like so much. Like when you guys reached out, like that really, like it made my day, because I love hearing that people are liking it, they connected with it, and they got what they, what we were doing. And then it's also hard to then go online and then see when someone makes a 10-minute video about your movie saying how much they hated it. And I was like, thanks, man. Which at the end of the day, it's like bad press is good press. People are still going to hear about it. People are talking about it. That's what's great. But, it does get kind of, I don't want to say discouraging. It's a roller coaster. It's a really a roller coaster. I'll see something pop up and it makes me feel really good, and then I see someone that really hated it, and I'm like, oh man, like sorry you didn't like it. And sometimes it hurts. But
Well,
it's
it's
part of
almost
the
like insulting your child, right? I mean, you've got
yeah.
so much invested in this. I mean, that's what makes it probably difficult, I would bet.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And the thing that's weird too is like, since shooting that, to me, this is a 3-year-old project now. We shot it 3 years ago. I've learned so much about how to make a better film, be a better writer, and everything in the last 3 years, that it's now weird promoting something from years ago now and saying this is like my current work, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, no, like I hold myself to like a higher standard now. Like I know I could do things way better now, but it's strange still pushing something because no, people don't know that it was shot however, however long ago, or the issues. They're just taking it for face value and they put something on. And so that part becomes hard. A lot of the things people like critique or complain about, I'm like, look, I'm right there with you, man. I'm like, if I could go back and redo it, I would, trust me, I would definitely find a better actor to play Tim. I get it. yeah, it's just it's a roller coaster. So, but it to have it out there, be able to talk about it, to not be sitting behind my computer screaming at my hard drive, is it's a much better feeling to go online and see that people are talking about it.
Right. Well, and you are, we've kind of talked about it a lot. So something to kind of, I guess, think about now is, you're a pretty multifaceted creator. You do the music, you do the filmmaking, you're an actor, a writer. I mean, you're kind of all perspectives of this genre. Do you see yourself as a filmmaker remaining in the horror genre, or do you have goals to try something outside of it?
Horror has always been my thing. I definitely want to keep making horror movies, more Halloween themed movies. I think I would love it if this could be achievable one day, but I mean, I'd love to be able to make a Spider-Man movie one day. I would love to get to tackle a Marvel thing one day. That would be the goal, is, keep it. Like someone like Sam Raimi, looking at his career, I'd love to have a career like that. Or even somebody like Rob Zombie. I love his work. I love his music. I'd love to have a career where it's like, yeah, I can still go make movies, but then go make music and tour. I certainly don't have that big of a following as he does to support myself to go out on the road and do something like that. But I would definitely love to tackle more horror and then some bigger projects. And I would love to dive into the Marvel universe, the superhero space, or Jurassic Park, something like that. That would be a dream to get to play and, to play with the studio budget and make something like much bigger than I could do in an indie level like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, when you've spoke to that, you've kind of got, re-engaged back in your music, right? That it you had to it was, it's only so much time, but now you're kind of, you got some shows coming up, everything else. So, but what do you what's next for you? Do you have seeds for your next project brewing, ideas percolating? Do you have an ideal, a hope of where you're going?
I would love to be putting out I'd love to start working on another movie soon. I have a lot of ideas on what I want to do next. A lot of them end up being much bigger than I could probably afford to get a budget for. So I gotta kind of figure that out. But I'd love to be doing another movie by next year. I've got a couple short films that are kind of ready to be shot that I want to do just to, keep the creative juices flowing. But other than that, it's really just trying to get I think, I just wrapped a music video that I shot the other day, which is, I always try to make whatever I'm doing somewhat horror related. So I think right now it's just to stay busy as a director, to really like, hone in on my craft, and then also just keep playing music and try and get this project going again. I want to put out Chasing Ghosts, put out the music video, and I want to start getting a band back together to start playing in the area and start trying to branch out more with that. So I'd love to get to go on the road with Ice Nine Kills and do, some Halloween stuff together. Yeah, it's just every day there's something new, and right now it's just about finding the opportunities and what's going to make the most sense logistically. So, but I would definitely love to be doing another movie next year.
Right on. Well, and we talked a lot about everything, but I do want to ask, it's pretty obligatory at this point, but is there a chance you'll ever revisit the Creeping Death world in a future project? So like a Creeping Death 2, or what do you think about that?
I would love to do that. The idea with this was to set up, like, have this be like the start of a universe, if you will. The book and this film are grimoire that we're kind of calling it. I want to connect to other Halloween related stories, and I have a couple other ideas. Basically, you know, when John Carpenter was doing Halloween, it wasn't always supposed to be Michael Myers. We all know it was supposed to be different stories of Halloween. And I'd love to do something like that, that all kind of connects back to this book. And so we could see the Ishii with other characters, other monsters. I have ideas for all these other films I'd like to do. So I'd love to do that and do something that's like a spin-off that can stand on its own. But I'd love to come back to these characters and see what happens next. If, you know, if it seems like people really care and want to see that, then I would love to jump back in and do that. I'd probably kill my character off in the first scene just so I don't need the stress of shooting a whole movie and acting in it again. But no, I would definitely love to if it seems like people want it, and if we can get a budget to do it properly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Matt, let's wrap this up. The movie, of course, again, is Creeping Death. It's on Screenbox. It's excellent. We highly recommend it by us. We got a screener from Screenbox before it was even, you know, it was out. And I watched it first, and I immediately, you can add like immediately after I texted him, dude, you got to watch this. This is fun. And I told him, again, I put it online, and it's not BS. You can ask him. I said, man, this is going to be an every year, you know, Spooktober this time of year watch for me. Because I love that feel, right? That it fits right in there, that Halloween fall feel, and I'm like, this is going to be one every year I revisit on my watch list this time of year. So everybody needs to go check it out if you haven't already, or go watch it again. Like I said, it's perfect this time of year. You know, this is the that's what's funny. It's out now, but I feel like it's starting to ramp up, and it's only, I mean, for the next month, I feel like it's perfect timing just to keep. To keep, you know, brewing and keep building up a little bit here as people, as it gets closer to Halloween. And me and Ike always talk about, you know, like screen backs to these services. It's like when you used to browse the new release wall, try to find, see just in a video store, just see what's out. Just scrolling through and you see, oh, what's this movie, right? This is a Halloween. Okay, I'll watch this. So I feel like there's a lot of views are coming in the next month, even. It's, you know, dare we say, maybe it'll knock Terrifier 2 off of that number one spot.
Hey, that, you know what? I would be excited to see
Hey,
code number one, but
let me tell you something now, and I'm not taking any credit for us. We had Sean Robinson on, and we interviewed him. He made Life of Bell, and it was on Screenbox, and it was doing very well. After he did our show and did our interview, Life of Bell had a couple of weeks where it was at number one on Screenbox. So hey,
okay.
maybe we're just good luck. I don't know. I don't think it's our listenership that's going to make that difference, but who knows? No.
It's good luck. All right. Well, perfect.
If
I hope you're right. But then
If, if
Terrifier
you,
3 is going to come and just knock us right.
well, here's
True.
the thing. If you get to number one, it was because of us being good luck. If you drop to number three, it's somebody else's fault, not ours.
Okay, perfect. You know what? Well, while you're here, let's just see where we're at.
Okay, yeah.
Think we're still number two, which is good. I'm fine. Hey, to be right behind Terrifier, I'm okay with that.
Man,
So
I would I'd probably be laughing in a week if you had opened it up and been at number one right now. I'd be like, huh? Oh well. But
hope so.
yeah. But anyway, hey, two, man. I mean, it's behind Terrifier 2 of all things. That's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean,
No. When I saw that, you know, that really like gave me a little boost of energy. I'm like, all right, now
well, especially when we're in the hype of Terrifier 3 getting ready to come out, of course. You know, people, I mean,
oh,
that's so yeah.
I'm so excited for that one. Now, honestly,
Me too.
when we were told we were going to be coming out in September, there was a part of me that was nervous about that, but as you've mentioned, it's been ramping up. You know, I wanted to come out like a week before Halloween, but it's like once Halloween's over, do I still promote it in December and November and all that stuff? And so it would affect, which I would have, it just wouldn't be the right time. Where it's like now, it's, you know, it's getting time to grow, and I'm hoping that as we approach Halloween, hopefully, you know, a lot more people will be watching this, and who knows? I would love to maybe see a theatrical thing going
Yeah,
across the country. We have a
that'd
couple of
be
screens popping up. I'd love to see even more. So,
great. Yeah. So, well, Matt, before we get out of here, how can fans and listeners, what's the best way to follow you? Like you said, you got lots of things going on with the music, the movie, everything. Is there a kind of a central way that's best to follow you to keep track of all your projects?
yeah, absolutely. You know, right now you can find the movie just Creeping Death Movie. That's our handle literally everywhere: TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everything. And then just my name is Matt Sampier. So it's Instagram is probably the best spot where I'm the most active, and it's just at Matt Sampier, SAMPERE.
Yeah, just Don't rely on my
You'll
pronunciation.
find everything.
Yeah. Well, and we will
Hey,
definitely
you're okay. You're not the first.
I bet, yeah. We'll definitely put all that information in the show notes for this episode so that if people want to do that, they can just go in, easy click, get right to you and give you a follow. And anything we put out there, we'll tag you in it as well so they can easily, click and
Please
get to
do.
you. But we have Matt, we appreciate you giving us time. Like I said, we know you've got a lot going on. You're busy promoting this thing. And we appreciate it. Like I said, we love them. We only have people on that we enjoy the projects. We feel like, I don't know. It's hard. You don't want to try to fake just to stroke someone's ego a little bit. It's hard. I mean, I don't mean any offense to anybody because we like a lot of movies. We're kind of like you. We're not going into every movie thinking we're going to watch an Oscar winner. As long as we have some fun and enjoy
Right.
ourselves for an hour and a half, I'm good. And that's all I need. And especially with horror, right? It's just supposed to be fun.
Exactly.
But it's been a blast to talk to you. So many things clicked. I'm so bad. H2O guy, the thorn, just the I mean the Dream Warrior shirt. God. So good, man. I just I
Know
just
if you need another co-host, I'll come up.
Well,
We can do some stuff.
hey, maybe we'll have to do something at some point where we'll get the three of us together to do a review together. It's something, we've never had a guest reviewer.
Oh,
Well,
perfect.
outside of our wives, we do a thing called wives rebuttal, but that's typically when they come on and disagree with us. Well, it's always when they come on and disagree with us, so it gets heated. But
Yeah, I understand.
yeah, but yeah, we've never had a guest reviewer, so maybe sometime, maybe
Absolutely. Let me know.
yeah, especially hey, Terrifier 3 is coming up. Maybe we can.
God, I can't wait. I'm so
I know
stoked.
it. Maybe we'll definitely be in contact. We'll stay in touch because I'm very excited to see what you do in the future. I really enjoyed your movie. I enjoyed some of your music. I've listened to some of that. When we saw you were part of that, so very much enjoyed it. So I'm very excited to see what the future holds for you. And don't sell yourself short, man. I still think you got the potential to do something, Marvel related in the future when you get there. A little, I think you've got that. I think you've got that passion, that skill, and that creativity in you. So,
Seriously. No, that means a lot. So
well, and
it means
again,
as much
thank.
as it can from two fat guys on the internet, right? No, seriously, thank you for bringing me onto this and stuff, and just hearing how much you guys love it, like, makes me feel better about it, and it just re-inspires me to want to keep pushing and making more. So it's always nice to hear from everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know, like I said, I know you went through some patches with it where it was difficult and it was rough and discouraging. I mean this in the most positive way possible, Matt. I'm glad you stuck with it and saw it through and that we
Yeah.
got to see this film because I really did enjoy it. Literally from the bottom of my heart. I'm seriously, this will be an every season, every year rewatch for me. I have certain movies that I watch every Halloween season. And this it perfectly fits into the kind of movie I like at that time of year. So, well done. Well done. And for all the struggles and everything else, man, you did good. And I'm very happy that you got to make it. So
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Seriously.
you're
Yeah.
very welcome. So Matt, we'll let you go. Ike, stick around a little bit so we can close the show out. But Matt, we will definitely stay in touch and maybe we'll do a little something else in the future.
I would love that.
Absolutely, man. So yeah, just reach out anytime you need something.
I can't talk. We'll do, absolutely. And enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, you too, man.
Where are you guys located, by the way?
I'm right now I live in North Carolina, originally from
Oh, okay.
Indiana. I
When you sent
live.
the message, I was like 3 p.m. and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I completely forgot. All the different time zones and things, those throw me off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
I'm in Florida. I'm in Central, so
Oh.
I was like, he sends it to me, and I always have to convert it in my head. I'm like, it's not 3 p.m. my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you're not too far from Atlanta, October 6th,
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
be doing a train there. So
Very
cool.
cool.
I'd say
Yeah.
it's like 4 hours away from me. So when you said that, I was like, I'm gonna look into
That's not
Yeah.
too far. So I'm still
Yeah.
debating. I'm trying to see if I'm gonna be able to make that one. I'd love to. So,
Yeah.
it's weird to would be weird to not be there. I'd love to be in every screening.
Right.
Also, finances. Right.
Well, I hope he gets enough screening that you can't be at all of them. I hope that's what I'm hoping,
Thank you. That would be great.
it's
Yeah, that would be a good problem to have.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, well, have a good weekend, Matt. And like I said, stay in touch, and we'll keep in touch with you, and we'll cross paths again in the future.
Sounds
For
great,
sure.
guys.
All right, thank you to Matt for coming on, talking to us, man. I love these interviews, man, because like I said, we get guys on here that we really enjoy their projects, and that and we've been very fortunate that everybody we've had on here, I felt like we click really well with them. And I mean, I knew when he popped up and he had that Dream Warrior shirt on, I thought, oh yeah, this is gonna be fun. And then I noticed the tattoo, and then he had Spider-Man in the background. I was like, yeah, this dude, he might as well be related to me. And yeah, go check out Creeping Death. It's on Screambox. It is a fun movie to watch any time of year, but it's especially perfect now as we are in September, getting ready to hit October. This is the perfect time to watch this film. I know Matt said he had some frustrations with things. He had to cut some things here and there. I'm telling you what, whatever he had, I don't know, man. I don't know what he had vision in his mind, but what he came out with was is pretty damn good. And I'm glad he stuck with it and saw it through. I mean, we haven't really, I mean, we haven't really talked. Okay, well, we're not gonna say much. Oh well, by the time this is out, we will have already done our review. So this is gonna be a weird time flux thing here.
It
By the
is.
time this interview's out, we'll already have had an official review on the show. But as we're recording this, I have not heard any feedback from you. So just I don't want to get too into it, but I did text you. As soon as I saw this, I mean, this movie's fun. I love this movie. So what was your just your overall initial when you watched it? What'd you think?
Well, so here's the thing is when you kind of told me about it, and this is the mysterious sack, right? We should have
Oh, that's
brought that up.
right.
We
Oh,
should
I
have brought it up with
forgot.
Matt.
Yeah.
I
Damn,
completely
I forgot
forgot about it.
about that.
You'll have to message him and tell him this was like the tagline of this movie was the mysterious sack, and like we made jokes about it. We had a lot of fun, but like watching it, the mysterious sack was very important. And it was such a fun movie, and like something that like, you cannot say about a lot of these Halloween movies. Not like the Halloween, Halloween, but like Halloween genre, like the fall time.
Holiday movies, yeah.
Yeah, like holiday movies. Like sometimes these movies, they really fail to capture the essence of fall. They fail to capture the essence of October, but this movie doesn't. I watched this movie and like it made me nostalgic almost. Like that nostalgia of like when I was a kid and it was Halloween and some of the things that you saw and some of the like the fun that people were having in the film. And it kind of brought up that nostalgia within me. And then, it was just so much fun. And then you could very rarely say that about these movies sometimes, is that sometimes they're just there, but this was such a fun, nostalgic Halloween movie, but with a lot of gore and a lot of death. And I loved it. Like you said, I'm not
Yes.
gonna go too deep, you know what I mean? But like just surface level, nostalgic, Halloween feels, spooky, in gore and death. Oh, loved it.
I'm super glad that he dove into some Halloween lore and stuff
Yes.
like that, because there's a ton out there, and man, it's super interesting. And
It is.
I think he's right on path where he says that he could do a series of movies exploring different angles, different aspects of Halloween lore. They would still tie together, and everything else. I think there's a whole lot he can explore with some future films, and I hope he gets a chance, and I hope he has a desire. But no matter what he does, I'm a fan, and I'm gonna look forward to all of his projects going forward. And I can't wait. I can't wait. I think Matt's got a bright future, and
Oh yeah.
I look forward to seeing what he does next. And I hope Creeping Death's had some success, and I hope it can, has a little bit bigger, because we've said it'll open some doors, right? I mean, we spoke a lot about Terrifier. That first Terrifier was he was just the passion project, but it opened a lot of doors for Terrifier 2, and then Terrifier 2 kicked the doors down, and now they're pretty much
I mean, this Terrifier 3, it's going to be a major motion picture. It's a
yeah.
blockbuster. I mean, they have the budget. This is going to be, I mean, Damien Leone has the blueprint for success here. Like,
Well,
he.
yeah, and we haven't, again, we haven't got to speak on this between you and I, because we haven't recorded that weird thing. But anyway, I don't know if you saw, but they had their world premiere at some film festival just a couple nights ago. And in the Q&A, Damien Leone did say there is going to be a Terrifier 4. It's confirmed. He's already. So I'm super stoked, man. I want the franchise. Let's do this sucker and let's keep it running. And
Well, and like you said, I mean, Matt even said like Terrifier was sort of like that inspiration of like they could do it, so I can do it. And just like we're excited for Terrifier 4, I want a Creeping Death 2. You know what I mean? I want a a series based around like more characters from the grimoire, as he said. And like, I feel like there's so much that you could do with that. Just like with Halloween, how they just kind of touched on like the Samhain and the Mark of Thorn, some of that lore and mythos. There's so much stuff that you could do with the lore mythos of Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and everything else. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think Matt has a really strong movie, and I think that with a little bit of luck, we'll get him to knock out Terrifier 2 for a little bit.
Maybe, hopefully, everybody listening, just go watch it right now when we're done, and let's see if we put a big push on it. I want to say that we're the good luck charm for Screambox movies, but
That's right.
whether we are or aren't, I don't care. If it's just, I don't care if it's just freak circumstance. I'm going to take some credit. So,
Amen.
all right. So let's wrap this thing up and get out of here before we, whenever you're listening to this, the next, like I always say of these, the next new episode will be out the Thursday following, because we put out new episodes every Thursday. I'm not sure in this timeline what movie will be on the Thursday after this, because it's the weird time of recording these things. So
I think it's
just
never let
go.
go.
Yeah, there you go. I think it's it. I think you're right. But we have still, like we said, yet to record our Creeping Death from the previous week. So we're gonna have to travel back in time and record that. So it's all just wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
That's right.
But before we close out, Ike, anything you want to throw out there?
Just, thanks again to Matt. Matt did a great job. He came on here, and I mean, some of these questions, like he gave really good in-depth answers, and he really, I mean, he talked about the sort of more deeper or more darker side of the filmmaking process, and I'm so happy that he, like you said, he was able to give us the product that he gave us, because there were trials, there were tribulations, and he had a rough go of it, but we still got this amazing film, and that's all thanks to Matt. I mean, Matt literally not only wrote and directed, but he also acted in this movie. Like, he did the
Score
trifecta, scored the movie.
the
I mean, he wrote the final song for it and performed. I mean, literally all of this. And so, yeah, I mean, Matt is a multifaceted, talented person, and like, I just cannot express it enough. Thank him for coming on. And listeners, watch this movie. You're not going to be, you'll be, you will be very surprised at how good and how nostalgic and how ball field you get from this movie, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So there you go. Go to Screambox. Watch the movie. Let's get the bad push on to get Creeping Death to number one. Hopefully it happens. But until our next new episode, which will be on the next Thursday following this, no matter when you listen to it, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.